Hey, you got the morning show with Aaron. That's Rufus Du Sol with next to me. And I didn't plan this, but next to me is Natalie Sims. Good morning.
That was a good segue.
It's a fantastic segue.
Well done.
These things happen from time to time. They pop up.
They do. So
we always talk careers with Natalie. And I'm always into getting a bit of free careers advice. Not that I really need it these days. I wish I'd had it when I was much younger.
Oh, come on now.
No.
Not that many evolutions around, have you? Surely.
No, I'm just thinking when I was really young, like,
I know.
Someone would give me a job, I'd go, okay, I'll take it.
Yeah. But I think that's where we're at when we're young people, right? Like that, we don't know. So we do what we were told is right and we you know, accept others' advice as opposed to kind of just actually really looking within. But you know, I keep thinking about our young people and the pressure of, okay, so now you're ready to go, now you're an adult, you should know what you want to do with it, you know. What we now know is that sort of brains and decision-making compartments of the brain aren't actually developed
and probably don't have the life experience to know what suits them.
100%.
They know what they think about school because that's what they've just spent the last 12 years doing.
But you know, historically, young people were making huge life decisions. You know, a lot of us my mum and dad had their children really young. You know, my dad joined the Navy at 15. You know, so historically, very big life decisions have been made. You know, my partner was in the army at 16.
Was those decisions to, like, I just have to get out of school?
I think, you know, for my dad, yeah, 100%. He just was like, you know, ready to go. With Bob, with my partner. Sorry, that's something that he knew that's what he wanted to do.
Right.
Yeah, but I was not made from that mold.
I wanted to get out of town.
Well, actually, I wanted to get out of my hometown. I knew the only thing that was really was about kind of stepping into adulthood. It was about getting out of home and.
Well, I got to say, congratulations! You did really well. You're now you're as far away as you could get from your hometown.
Unless I started going back, right? Yeah, that's true. And you know, I've had some pretty significant accomplishments, I suppose, in my life. I'm proud of where I'm at, but yeah, I mean, wasn't textbook.
I was the opposite of that. I was like, I did the textbook thing. I did what everyone said, got the degree, did the work, started doing the work, and was like, and then finally woke up and was like, well, what am I doing all this for?
Yeah, but again, I mean, like that in itself is a different form of foundation, right? So through that, you were getting different life experiences, which were then able to underpin that kind of adult world perspective.
So after getting a degree and working for 5 years, I was finally in the position to choose what degree I should do. That's what you're saying.
There's some really interesting stats around that, right? Like, I mean, I'm quoting somebody that probably quoted somebody, but their position is with one of the universities as a career guidance professional. And they also, this person in particular, is the president of the Career Development Association of New Zealand, which is something that I belong to. It's our professional body. And they talked about how if young people take a year in between study and university, the 25% or 25, yeah, I think she said 25% more likely to succeed in their degree.
To finish it. Okay.
And if you take a break of longer than 2 years, and I quote, this is a direct quote from her, you are exponentially more likely to succeed in your studies. So, you know, there's always that room to return. But again, I've sort of given that a little consideration of what it actually means to return to study, let's say, as an adult, as opposed to somebody that might be living at home with their parents. I mean, or, you know, it's just a different structure to it. So it can become more, not problematic, but it can just come with its own set of challenges, right?
That thing too, like I was someone who should have got into the degree and said, no, I'm going to stop. But I kept going. I thought I should keep going. So all that did was put the reckoning off five more years till I'd been working for a while. I was like, yeah, no, I was right. I was right, like, 8 years ago.
But I remember that from my first job, though, right? Like, you know, Dad was like, you're going to go get a job, young lady. And I ended up being a dental nurse, which...
We've discussed how inappropriate that was.
Probably what, you know, from what I know now. Yeah. But at the time, you know, I was very good at it. I did what I was supposed to do, and I was very organized. And
well, you're like that when you're younger. You're like, okay, they're telling me to do this. Okay, I'm going to do it.
And then, you know, there were a couple of changes to who I worked for And it just became really apparent that obviously for someone like me, relationships are quite important, and that ability to, you know, I'm a social person, and under the RISIC code, like social and artistic and are very strong traits of mine. So, I mean, we could talk about that in another subject, but that's just something, it's a tool that's used in career guidance to kind of help people classify potential occupations based on interest. Yeah. And you, through the Holland's RISIC code, it's a very well-established, very well-researched tool. You kind of go through what's known as a self-directed search. You just, it's a lot of, you know, highlighting potential traits of yours,
yeah,
or not potential, but highlighting traits of yours, and then come up with a score, and then that score relates specifically to a code. So the RISIC is realistic, investigative. The C I always get wrong, and it is conservative or constructive. It's constructive, beg your pardon. So that's RIC, artistic, entrepreneurial, and creative.
Right.
So within those traits, then they've figured out, like, some people with these traits are more likely to do these jobs, and people with these traits are more likely to do these jobs. And then we've got the ones in between that sort of are very, they have what's known as a, oh gosh, what's the particular term? Can't remember. Anyway, but you end up with like a very similar score on all of these things. And so you can put your hand to anything.
Yeah.
If that's one of those. So, yeah. So within those traits, then you find some people are more likely to succeed in other jobs than others. Yeah.
I came across a thing recently, and I'm trying to find where it was. It was on a Rich Roll podcast, and a guy was talking about a system he'd worked out, and it wasn't specifically about careers. Ah, there we go. Jonathan Field. Oh, okay. Good Life Project.
Oh, yeah.
And he wasn't, it wasn't,
find meaning in work and life.
Yeah, so it wasn't about what you should do, but it was about what was driving.
It says it up there. Look,
what drives you in your work?
Yeah,
and so I can't remember too much of the stuff, but what I did the test, because you can do the test online, and it has like these 10 categories of things that drive you. And so mine, and you have a main one and a second one, mm-hmm, and my main one was advocate.
Oh yeah, yep,
and that. And so that's the main thing that drives me. And the second one is called Sage, which sounds like you're putting yourself up there, but out there. But it's about trying to share, like,
knowledge and information
and how things work. Yeah. And so that informs that's there as support for the main one.
Oh, that'd be interesting. You have to send me that link.
Yeah, and so advocate for me made sense. Like, I got involved in the kids' soccer because I could see some kids were getting a hard time from the way things had been run, and wanted to make it better because they're supposed to enjoy it and not leave unhappy. But that was my strong motivation.
Yeah.
And this job is the same. Yeah. Like I'm advocating for people all the time, and with the background thing of trying to explain how everything works.
So it was quite
good. And it doesn't. And what he said was, it doesn't mean that you have to go in a particular job once you learn this.
Yeah.
What it means is you could find within your career the things that feed that. So if you did medical training, you might end up doing research, you might end up working with people, you might end up building some medical device or something that's completely innovative. So so it didn't mean you need to necessarily change your career or anything after doing
it. You need to look within and what is available within that kind of career web as such.
Yeah, yep. And because, and that and doing that stuff that's like your main drive will make it it's just better, isn't it? It's better.
It is better if you are able to have some sort of connection to your work, so that or understand why you are going to work, to give you the offset of, you know, I do this because of this, and so therefore I'm able to find that value. So the tool I use, the ICCS, which is an intelligent career card sort, it works along a similar sort of line, and it gets you to highlight, it ends up being sort of 21 statements that have got relevant meaning to you, and then from there you then come up with these concepts around that individualized meaning and interpretation and a plan, which is basically highlighting your career drivers and motivations, but done in a very specific and individualized way, so that you're not getting these statements that say, because of this you are this, you know, which is really good, don't get me wrong. But I mean, when it comes to making a plan, certainly in a country like New Zealand, where we have a different, we have lots of opportunities, but they're done in a very different way because, you know, we're such a small population. So, yes, you might be able to be a nuclear chemist, but how many options for employment are there in a country this size? So, but I mean, they're realistic sort of questions. So when I do the occupational searches with people, we always look at something like you're saying, you know, you might be this, but if you can't, if that opportunity isn't the right one, what sits around that job? What can be investigated? What can be found that would be more suitable to the importance of factors in your own life? Yeah. Yeah.
So I've just,
that's
really
interesting.
I've just found the thing I was talking about. He's got a book, Jonathan Field, called Sparked, and he calls them sparkertypes.
Ah, I haven't heard
like the archetypes that spark you. No, it's quite new. He's been working on it. He's kind of created his own little field to a degree, although it's obvious 100%. Has obvious similarities to what you've been talking about. It's but it says discover your unique imprint for work that makes you come alive.
Oh, I like the idea of that.
Yeah, yeah. Anyone in a drudge...
meaning, joy, purpose and possibility. Well, one would hope that he's obviously put some research behind it all, because that's what we're looking for, something that's got a bit of a tried and tested, not necessarily science, but that's the word that we'll use to...
Yeah.
You know, the tools have got to be not only relevant, but they've got to be... Yeah, they've got to say what they're going to do.
Yeah. The best thing is you can actually go to the website and just do the test for free.
That. Oh, funny. Yeah. What I come up with.
It'd probably be reasonably predictable.
Oh, I don't know.
You should know. Given your job, you should know by now. And especially because you've created your own career now. Like you've got your own business.
100%. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. 100%.
Yeah. But which is actually what we were going to talk about.
Because creating your own opportunities and entrepreneurship. But again, you know, and that leads really well on from the traits factor, this conversation that we're having, because, you know, for part of my Rise at Code, it is entrepreneurial.
Right.
And that came through in my ICS as independence.
So you're never really going to be doing that well just working in a managerial, middle management job?
I'm sure I would, but that sense of satisfaction might not have been something that I had long term.
Mm.
You know, not wanting to do it for other people or just feeling like you reached a point where, I don't know if you would call it a glass ceiling in the jobs that I had before my own business. But we'd always, I mean, we'd, both Bob and I, oh gosh, I should stop using his name, sorry.
Don't mention me on the radio.
I don't think he's given me consent to now. I don't think he mind. But like when we came to New Zealand, we established our own businesses. We had a couple before we kind of ended up in these jobs as well. So, you know, I think that entrepreneurship's something that's within us.
What were you doing?
So we used to run, well, it was a juice and soup.
Right.
It's got a really nitty name, like Super Juice. Because it's so clever.
It's awesome.
And I have to say that we were we were a zero waste business.
Right.
I mean, this is like, we sold that business just before we had our son. So nearly 13 years ago. We used to import like the little cornstarch cups, and our food waste was collected by some of our local farmers here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think the only thing that was a substantial form of waste was the black bin bags that the food waste had to go in.
Oh, yeah.
You know? But again, they are able to be reused for lots of other sort of nifty things. So, yeah, we did that. And for a wee while there, we were running an engineering business. So Bob was a self-employed, and he actually built a boat for somebody. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's on the water, and we've been to visit it, and yeah.
So how did running the Super Juice suit you guys?
It was a whole heap of fun.
Yeah.
Only, don't get me wrong, because our customer base, well, we used to go around to music festivals, which is a huge passion for both of us.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and we would sell our masterful juices and soups at the festivals. And you know, one of them, we were down to Parihaka when that was running, and we did that for a number of years. So you know, we saw some really incredible bands, and I remember cleaning my little juice cart while Dave Dobbin was rocking out
right.
the crowd. And
what did you do between concerts?
Initially when we set it up, we were living down in Taranaki, so that was running full time down on the boardwalk.
Oh yeah.
And then when we moved up here, I was working at Black Sands.
Yeah.
And then Bob was working for an engineering company in Hamilton. And that's when I think just in that, during that crossover, he came out of that business, established his own, and then we were working Superjuice. And
did you decide Superjuice wasn't enough to support a family?
There was just some stuff that went on around that time, and that was one of the things, that sort of life story, as it often does, changed the focus, and it just became apparent to both of us that that wasn't going to be a business. So we got pregnant, and it was not a successful pregnancy. It's a very sad story. I don't know. It's like a people's cup of coffee. We haven't, you know.
Yeah.
And it just was a life-changing event. It was a very traumatic, life-changing event. And from there, we responded to it in other ways. And that's when, you know, I actually came into careers. So that was one of the things that was a big driver for me changing and reassessing what it was that was going to give me fulfillment and be a driver. And that's when I started working up at the community house. And then from there, kind of things gained some traction. And here I am, you know, 13 years later.
Yeah.
So there we are. Like, that was a bit of a synopsis of
a brief synopsis. But it's interesting because
what we were going to talk about, but that's okay.
People want to work. People want to get a job in Raglan. And you can get one pumping gas or serving coffee.
But
a lot of people want to create something for themselves. And that's what you've done. It's what I've done. It's what lots of people have
done.
But
I have to say, I mean, for me, moving into a new community, working in the hospitality industry here, it was great because, you know, that was a huge connection for me. It was a huge community connection for me. And I just thoroughly enjoyed it. It's such a social job. Mm. But I mean, for me, at that point, I just wanted something more. I wanted something to have more meaning. I know that sounds ridiculous because there's so much in food. There's so much passion. There's so much. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a huge, wonderful part of my life, hospitality. But at that time, I had to reassess. And my whole interest of working in community and, you know, just helping others in, not necessarily the way that I do now, was something that I had much interest in as a young person. And then, you know, I studied health and social care and all this kind of stuff when I was a young person. So it felt like a very natural place to come back to. And it has definitely impassioned me, I suppose.
So you're in a good position to, like, for a client to come to you and say, I want to create a job.
You say things like that. I mean, you're in a good position too. I'm like, oh, hang on.
You're sitting on a comfort chair. If someone wants to, like, and this is a thing that happens here, it's why I wanted to talk about it this morning. Like I want to create some employment for myself out here. And we saw, you know, we've got the scientists who work out here now, and that would have started off possibly with Shaw in his house. I'm not sure. Shaw Mead in his house. Yeah. Was that where it started? I don't know.
An early adapter to the remote work, right?
Yeah. Just like actually I can do this on the coast by the sea where I want to be.
Which makes sense considering what it is the subject that they study and things like that. But they're not the only people now here.
That's one example.
And
there's completely different examples.
And there's lots of people that have seen that opportunity, recognized the need, and have developed from that. And I mean, that's not just a career model. That's a business model as well, right? Like, recognize your niche. How do you do that? I mean, for a lot of it, I'm working with somebody at the moment, and we just keep seeming... It's a very complicated story. I'm not going to go into it, but we keep coming across these huge barriers, and we have finally got to the point where it's like, we're going to have to look at this from a different, completely different perspective. And through the job search, we've now flipped that on his head and said, right, this is now going to become market research.
Okay.
And you're noticing, what are the themes? What solutions can you apply? So there's your niche. And, you know, that's also a business development model as well, like recognizing a need, recognizing your skills and abilities, that's your niche and your expertise. So, you know, here's the other systems that are in place to do that. And I think that, Raglan is definitely one of those places that we see that independent work. We see those self-employed people.
I'm often amazed too. I see someone starting a business up and I think, is that going to work out here? And it usually does.
Yeah, because they've recognized the niche and they've done more research than me. Yeah, but they're able to respond to that with a set of skills and expertise and understanding of, you know, how to make things work, which is obviously that sits behind any business. You know, we've got these good ideas, but how are your customers going to pay you, for example? What are they going to pay you? And, you know, how can you market it and reach them and
I think
their reputation?
Yeah. As a community, we're more of an early adopter community than other places. So I think that helps.
Yeah, I think it does. I think when we moved here, it was an arts hub. arts, music, creativity, that this is the place. And then obviously that was just part of the subculture that was the surf town that it was known as. But when you dig a little deeper in Raglan, there's lots and lots of very capable people setting great examples, maybe for our younger people, about how things can be done differently. Entrepreneurship is something that's very strong for me. It's a strong trait. It's something I'm not saying that my success is something that is easily mimicked or even worth mimicking. I don't know. But for me, I find that the success in independence and entrepreneurship is something I enjoy. And the tools that I've chosen to use can focus and help people with that as well. So what am I trying to say here?
Entrepreneurship can apply in other areas. We look at the people who started Extreme Zero Waste.
Yep.
And there are, and that's the first, I was mentioning them first, but there are many organizations like that in town.
Yep.
And so it's not purely business entrepreneurship.
But they're a social enterprise, right?
But business was involved.
Yeah, 100%. But that realistically comes from, their personal drive and ethos to want to contribute to an environmental landscape that is sustainable and all of those things. And if you ever have the opportunity to talk to Rick, do it, because, you know, like, it's a really interesting story. But then it comes from that other social need of employment and equity. So, you know, Extreme, from where it is to where it started, is quite different. But that is all about people that have said, I recognize that there's a need for something. I have a set of skills and capabilities. But I also have this drive of creating opportunities for others in my community. And now, what, 20 years? They've been running,
22.
Here we are with something that they're a globally recognized organization for waste redistribution, but also I think maybe a flagship for the way that I would hope that Raglan is with its people, and saying, well, you know, here's some opportunities. Let's raise the others up and let's share that opportunity.
There are lots of young people that's their first job, and that's where they're learning how to work.
Yeah, and they learn how to work. They if they are committed, they help them with their driver's licenses, which is I cannot express to people enough, a huge barrier to employment.
Yeah. Like, and not just a normal car, but HT licenses as well.
And so that then creates massive opportunities for employment. I have met somebody who started there. And he came into the service in Hamilton. And, you know, when you talk about where he has gone from starting his job there and what he does now, it's incredible. Where were we going with that? Yeah, but they elevate, but they also educate. And I think that that's really important as well, because, you know, understanding what you're capable of as an employee helps you to convince an employer potentially to take a chance on you and employ you, right? So and I think that organizations like that really do that, and so that's where we are with that one.
Well, it started off with the six people who created a job for themselves by doing that,
but then it's gone on to
entrepreneurship
need.
but now it provides work for the community as well. And when you think about, like, there might have been one person on the gate when it was a dump 22 years ago. Now there's 40 people, many of them part-time, so over 20 full-time equivalent.
Yeah.
That's a 20-fold increase in staff.
It's incredible.
Yeah,
it's really
staff.
Incredible. And I think, you know, I'll use myself as an example as well. When I looked into how I might be working for another person, it just didn't give me the feedback. I call it, you know, like the positive feedback that I wanted from my job.
The good vibes,
the control. I mean, when I started out with this, we had, you know, really young children, and I didn't want to feel like I didn't know whether I was capable of meeting the needs of an employee and a family.
At the same time,
I wanted to be able to positively contribute to the household, and also have, this is, I'm kind of almost directly quoting from some of the information I put into my ICCS. So when I learned to use the tool, when I went through that training, obviously the first thing that you do is undertake this investigation for yourself. And that was one of the things that kind of came up for me. And even to the point where I sort of structured, unbeknownst to me, but when I look back on it now, like how I was going to work and the kind of contracts that I was going to seek and, you know, pitch for. And and I think if you know there is a need for something, and you're able to justify that into something that it can be considered a business plan or a business model, you know, and you're able to convince other people, then that's a job. So go for it, is what I'm saying there. If you really can see that there's a need and you have the skills and abilities to meet that need, then put a business plan together. Because that's where it starts. Ideas, stuff. Yeah.
You're not really business plan. That's not really your...
No, it's not. But there are some really awesome resources on business.govt. And yeah. they have like the first one that... So obviously I do help people when they're considering yeah. self-employment. So it's yeah. about the resources that I would share with them. And that there's a 10-step to business... I think it's called 10 Steps to Business Plan. And you go through that process. And this is, like I said, it's all free on business.govt. And then you move on to writing your business plan. And that helps you to understand, well, how am I going to, you know, how much do I charge? Or who yeah. might my customers
will
be?
Will it work?
Yeah, it helps you to really break down those ideas into something that could be a tangible business at the end of it. You know, and we now hear it as the side gig. Like everybody's got to have a side gig, right? You know,
they're talking about side gigs a lot.
Side gigs a lot, right? Yeah. Which is that second form of income. So, you know, a lot of people using Airbnbs on their property, all mm-hmm. of those kind of things. But other side gigs have come from, you know, employment has come from side gigs as well.
The side gig grows and you can drop the day job.
Well, maybe, potentially. And I suppose that's what we were talking about off air, about finding that balance, or where were we on air when we were talking about it? That reward between maybe doing a job that's not so fulfilling because you know it's contributing to the long term of this.
Yeah.
You know, and that starts right back at university, right? Or study, or, you know, when you've got your Saturday job at school and, you know, you do that job because it might not be the ideal thing, but, you know, you do it because it's giving you an income, which you need while you're studying. So
this job I've got is one of those classic ones where it started off as an interest, as a volunteer.
Yeah.
And there were no employees at the time. No. And a crisis in the station forced us to rethink how the station would go. And it became obvious pretty quickly that I was the person who was going to do the job. Yeah. And it happens to suit me, but there was no plan.
No.
I had a young person say that they wanted to get into radio, and I'm like, look, I really don't know how you do that.
Yeah. You start on community radio, right?
This just happened.
Or you start your own podcast.
Start doing it.
Yeah.
Really.
Start doing it. If you feel like you have the ability to, or the skill or expertise, just do it.
Yeah.
Do it. I mean, I know when I was studying, I did like quite random jobs. I worked at the toy library. And because, you know, that was like a small weekly income and I knew that I could invest. So through working at the toy library, I established my website. It's like the most, money-wise, like a very small amount of money to establish your website. But when you've got a baby and a three-year-old and, you know, you're not currently in a job that's giving, you know, I was working maybe one day a week at the community house, that money, that seed money, was massive.
So that's the toy library that happens here down in the basement.
Yeah, it is Whanaroa Toy Library. Yeah, okay, really great opportunity, really great little community facility. It's at the community house, I think Mondays or Tuesdays. You'll have to check in with them. But yeah, so that's kind of where that little job that might not have, I mean, it was great because it's super social when you're a parent and, you know, you've got toys for the kids and all of those things.
Like,
there's a lot of benefits for that job.
Yeah.
But realistically, in the long-term career plan, that was never on it. I was never going to be a librarian. Right, but here I was.
For toys. I think that's the unexpected thing. I've often
talked... Well, that's called as happenstance, right? Well, job isn't necessarily an example of happenstance. That's just contributing. But happenstance about being involved in something that then enables you to recognize opportunities or come across other opportunities for yourself is something that contributes massively to careers.
I think I've often had it's an idle chat with you and maybe some others about, I'd love to see, like, they have those careers evenings for teenagers, and I'd love to see a careers evenings that was full of people that did it the way we did it. Yeah. And it would probably terrify a lot of the parents, but when I see people going off to study something and they're not really sure why they're doing it, my heart sinks because I know where that process leads.
That's where that process of actually, is that person making an informed career decision? Who can we help them? Who can we get in to help us? You know, going and talking to the careers department in the universities is definitely something that everybody going to university should do. I've had conversations with students at university going, I'm literally failing. Like, I'm done. I'm doomed. I didn't take my first year of free study seriously. And it's like, have you spoken to the careers team? Oh, I didn't know there was one.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, well, there we are. Like, that's the thing, right? You're going into this decision with not necessarily the best informed. And as parents, I think that, you know, that whole idea of security and knowledge. And, you know, if you go to university, you're going to get a good job and you can look at the wages of students to university graduates to non-university, all of those things that go, that's the right thing for you to do. Do that and you're going to end up with this. I think that comes from a really, really good place. I mean, I know that we do it with our children. It's like, oh, you know, that you'll be great. But the reality is you need to make an informed decision. And that starts with maybe understanding the facilities available to you and options available to you through.
But it's also understanding what a job is. Like, if you look at someone who's like, I'm interested in the human body and how it gets injured and things like that, you might say, oh, I become a physio. But a physio's job is working one-on-one with another human being.
Do you have the desire to work that closely? Do you have those social component to your characteristic that mean that you're going to find that an easy and rewarding job to do?
Yeah.
Because if you're somebody that isn't necessarily motivated or energized by working with people, having those intense one-on-one relationships might not be the ideal for you. But if you're interested in the human body, and you know, why not become
a researcher. Like, if you just love the information side of it and the knowledge, then that's a researcher kind of thing you want to do. But
I'm trying to think of the title of job that my niece got. She works for, oh, I can't remember now, but anyway, yeah. So I think it's just about really understanding that position. We have a really, really great tool in New Zealand. It's called the Careers NZ website.
Yes.
And most students are introduced to this, but most parents don't necessarily know.
Yeah.
So that is a really, 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 really great tool. And if you go on there, they have resources for practitioners or teachers. They have resources for students. They have resources for parents. And one of them is the jobs database. And it's got, I think, profiles of over 400 jobs in New Zealand now. And it goes all the way through from right at the beginning of the screen, talks about likelihood of jobs, like the actual, I think they break it into three different categories.
Is there a job for you once you qualify?
Well, not necessarily, but what, you know, the potential for employment. You know, how easy is it to get a job doing this? What is your pay scale? What is your training? What could be your income after 10 years in the job? You know, they have testimonials from people that are actually in those occupations. They have career pathways. They have study pathways. They have all of the knowledge in one place that can help and contribute to conversations, because that's the real big thing around all of it, isn't it? It's about having those courageous conversations around the decisions that we're expecting others to make or for ourselves to make.
Yeah.
So others being, if you're talking to your young people as a parent, that's a decision and it ultimately rests with them. So
the other ones, they've got to live with it.
Well, they are, or you might, you know, but I also think that at the end of the day, I was having a conversation with the person at the beginning of the week who is making a career pivot. So they're coming away from a job that served them very, very well. But you know, they're like 23 years old. So they're really young. Mm. However, like the circumstances around where they were doing this job, it's been fantastic. But they're like, I am not just moving away, but I am moving 100% in the opposite direction to that job. And you know, one of the things that we sort of said is, you are, because he was like, oh, you know, I'm not sure about what opportunities are going to be available to me. And it's like, well, being in it will open those opportunities up to you. Because for every job, of course, there's a culture that sits behind it. There's a network, there's organizations, and there's things that we don't know because we don't know what's behind that door because we're not in it.
Yeah.
So being in it will also enable you to be be aware of these opportunities. But again, opportunity awareness is something that we do actually have to work on. So,
Hey, folks, we're talking to Natalie Sims, career advisor.
Career development professional.
There we go.
That's all right.
Every interview I do, I'm like, how do you describe yourself? Because a title is not enough.
No.
But that title
is come sort of a bit of a directive from the Career Development Association of New Zealand, because there's so many different titles that people use, and they were like, well, here is a generic one.
Right.
And so that's something that I feel quite comfortable to give myself.
Hey, so we should wrap up and we'll play a song. Do you have a song you want to play?
Off
the top of your head.
Off the top of my head. Okay. Anything by Lady Blackbird at the moment. I'm big into her, but I'm also into a band called Nathaniel. What's he called? Ratcliffe and the Night Sweats.
Oh, yeah. But I've pulled up Lady Blackbird.
Lady Blackbird. She's great.
So what song should we play? We've got It's Not That Easy. We've got Did Somebody Make a Fool Out of You? Live at Capital. No, we're doing live. It'll Never Happen Again. Oh, that's live as well. So many sessions.
No, try that one at the top, the official video. It's Not That Easy.
Okay, here we go. If it's an official video, it's probably got all sorts of nonsense at the start. No, it started right away. This is Lady Blackbird. It's Not That Easy. We've been talking to Natalie Sims. Thank you
so much
for coming
having
in.
Me.
Remind us of the website quickly that people
Career Sense Edge. On there, you will also find links to the free career guidance service that is open to all New Zealanders until August 2023. It can be remote or in person, and that can be to support young careerists, our young people, making these decisions. So that's careers.govt.nz or just careers nz, one of the two, I can't remember specifically.
That's cool. Thank you for coming in.
You're welcome. Thank you.
When I placed all my faith in you, you know.